heart, and we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Samaches 68. We are picking up on Samach Zayin of day 67b, four lines up from the bottom. Ela Amar Rabbi Yonah. Ela Amar Rabbi Yonah v'Tim Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua. So we'll say, remember again, the discussion we're having over here is a discussion. We're up to one of the last cases in the Mishnah, namely the idea. Well, second to last case in the Mishnah, namely the Mishnah said that if a particular man and woman, if their relationship is a chiyuv karis or a chiyuv misa, we'll call it. Really, what we'll call better to call it an iser erva. The relationship is an erva, so the halacha is that kiddushin are not tofsin. So kiddushin does not work by an erva. So a man tries to mekadesh another married woman, our brother tries to mekadesh his sister. At the end of the day, again, not only is such kiddushin usser, such marriage usser, such relations usser, but Lamai said the kiddushin itself doesn't get off the ground. So we were trying to figure out exactly where we learned that from. So the Gemara wanted to suggest, first suggestion so far was, from the pasuk of v'yatza v'haisa, excuse me, v'yatza mibeiso, v'holcha v'haisa le'ish acher. She will leave his home. She's talking about divorce. She will leave his home and she will be a wife to another man, le'ish acher. So the Gemara darshin, only to an ish acher can she marry, but not ultimately again to. Not ultimately to a karov, not to someone ultimately to whom she is related to. So says the Gemara, Ela Amar Rav Yonah. So we'll see. So we saw yesterday the various problems we had with that. So Amar Ela Amar Rav Yonah, V'itim Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yoshua, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Kol Asher Ya'aseh Mikol HaTovavos Ha'ila V'Nichrasu. So the pasuk says, Rav Osai, whoever goes ahead and engages in any of these abominations, a reference to the arayos, a reference to the immoral relationships, v'nichrasu ha-nefashos ha-elu, v'nichrasu ha-nefashos ha-osos mikaramam, and these nefashos will ultimately be excommunicated, will be cut off from the people. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Now, the Bible said this pasuk follows right on the heels of the prohibition to marry two sisters. So what do you see from here? Hukshu kol arayos kulum na'achos isha. So all of the arayos in the Torah are compared to marrying your wife's sister. Ma'achos isha lo tafsi ba kiddushin. Just like the Bible said, if a person tries to marry his wife's sister, the kiddushin does not work. Af kol arayos kulam lo tafsi ba kiddushin. So to Rabbi say, all arayos, kiddushin cannot take effect in them. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, everything is compared to achos isha. Everything is compared to a wife's sister. Just like kiddushin is not tofsin with the wife's sister, so too is not tofsin in these cases also. Ihachi, the Gemara asks an amazing kasha, ihachi, afilu nida nami. If that's the case, Rabbi say, that all arayos are compared to achos isha, so having relations with a woman who did not go to the mikvah, anida, ultimately is also a chiyuv karis. So therefore, why don't we say that kiddushin is not tofsin with a nida as well? Take a look at Rashi. Afilu nida im kiddush pinuya b'mei nidasa lo lehavu kiddushin. If a man was mekadesh a single girl when she was in nida, so the kiddushin should not be good. And furthermore, v'im ba'al lehavu nidasa, if he had relations with her when she was in nida, yehei havlad mamzer. Ultimately, again, the offspring should be a mamzer. Also, remember, if we're saying that lamaisa, every single one of the arayos is compared to achos isha, compared to the wife's sister. So therefore, nida is also an arayos. So why don't we say again, kiddush is not tofsin. And if you have a child with a nida, then ultimately again, the child should be a mamzer. To which the Gemara says, Alama amar abaye hakom oldim bebala nida vala sota, shin avad mamzer. Ve'yat abaye said that everyone agrees, Abu Sa'id, that if somebody fathers a child with a woman who is a nida, or with a woman who is a sota, the halacha is, because remember, a sota is also asura to her husband. We learn that. So the child is not a mamzer. Shabbos says, see from here that lamaisa, again, you have a case of arayos, a case of a forbidden relationship, that kiddushin is tofsin and does not create mamzeros. Amr chizke makra, no, nida is different. Amakra, utehi nidasa alav. Because the pasuk says that if a man will go ahead, im shachav yishkav ish osa, if a man sleeps with a woman who is a nida, utihi nidasa alav. Literally, her nidus shall be upon him. So, Bosa, you understand that the lashon of tihia, is a lashon of kiddushin. So the Gemara dashes, afilu b'shas nidasa tehei bahavia. Even when she is a nida, ultimately, again, it is possible to affect kiddushin with her. So says Abaye, nida is the exception to the rule. Nida is the exception to the rule. That even though it's one of the arayos, number one, there's kiddushin tofsin. And I will say, because there's kiddushin tofsin, what else does that tell you? What does it tell you? That the offspring from a nida is not a mamzer. But I will say, you should know that the Torah Tanima comments on this. In his drasha on this pasuk, he talks about this idea of this gemara. And he says something amazing. He said, This is one of the incredible chassadim of the Ribono Shel Olam. Because if fathering a child with a nida would create mamzerim, then there would be a ridiculous proliferation of mamzerim within Klal Yisrael. Either because of people who don't know, because remember again, person could keep the laws of Taras HaMashpacha and get mixed up about something, not understand something, make a mistake about something, or people are just not aware of these halachos. So imagine again, you'd have an incredible proliferation of mamzerim. So the Ribono Shel Olam, it's amazing. This is the one exception to the rule. It's the one example of arayos that, A, forget about the fact that Kiddushin is tofsin, that's interesting by itself. But the fact that it doesn't create mamzerus is an incredible thing. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, now here's what's interesting. So we'll say, so here's now what we have. This is really quite fascinating. So we have now two poles. On one end we have the example of Achos Isha. Achos Isha is the case of the wife's sisters. That's a case of arayos, where kiddushin is not tofsin, and if you go out and you have a child with that lady, it's a mamzer. Good morning, Mr. Shomno. Welcome back. Baruch haba. Baruch haba. So says the Gemara. So that's not, on one side you have that pole. On the other side, what do you have? On the other side you have nida. So nida is a case of arayos that kiddushin is tofsin and does not create mamzerus. So says the Gemara, ichti lakusha lenida vika lakusha laachosisha my chazos dimakshus lehula achosisha. Aksha Lenida. So we'll say, so asks the Gemara, you want, so remember, what did we just say before? We just said before that we're going to compare all arayos to the case of Achos Isha. Just like Achos Isha, ultimately, again, Kiddushin is not Tofsin, and produces Mamzerim, so too again, all arayos, Kiddushin are not Tofsin. But why? Why don't you compare all arayos to Nida? And say, just like by Nida, which is an Erva, Kiddushin is Tofsin, and the children that are fathered with the Nida are not Mamzerim, so say that is true with all Arayos as well. To which the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Kula v'chumra, l'chumra makshinan. The Gemara says, you know what? When it comes to Arayos, if we have a choice between comparing Shara Arayos, the rest of the cases of Arayos, to a Machmir case or to a Kula case, we're going to compare it to the more chomer case. We're going to compare it ultimately to the greater stringency. Therefore, you're right, we have a choice to compare them ultimately again to Nida or to Achos Isha. We're going to choose to compare it ultimately again to Achos Isha. Says the Gemara. So therefore, again, this is now second answer. So remember, keep your eye on the polar bear. We have one simple question. The one simple question is, how do we know that in cases of arayos, forbidden relationships that are punishable by death, kiddushin marriage does not take effect? So far now we have two different possibilities. Possibility number one is v'yatza mibeisa v'haisa l'ish acher. She could only marry an ish acher, not a karov. Possibility one. Possibility two is that all arayos are compared to achos isha, are compared to a wife's sister. And possibility three is, says the Gemara, ravacha b'yakov amr asev kavachom miyivama. We make a kavachom Homer from Yavama, my Yavama she belav lo tav si bakidushin. So we'll say, so Achav Yaakov is something very interesting. We learn from Yavama. Who's the Yavama? The Yavama is the woman waiting to do Yibum. So her husband died without children. She's waiting for her brother-in-law to marry her. So according to Rav Achra bar Yaakov, Rabbi say, if another man besides the Yavam tries to marry the Yavama, the Kiddushin does not work. Now remember, we saw this is a machlokis in Yavamas, about whether everybody agrees that if the Yavama marries someone other than her Yavam before doing Chalitza, there is a law, there is a prohibition, but there's a machlokis whether or not Kiddushin actually works. So Rav Achra bar Yaakov is of the opinion that Kiddushin does not work. So when it comes to Yavama, where it's a law, it's quote-unquote just a law, it's just a prohibition, and yet Kiddushin does not work, Chayve Misos v'chayve Krisos l'kol shekein, then all the most of us say relationships that are punishable by death or punishable by Kares, of course Kiddushin should not work. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case, Shar Chayve Lavin Nami. So we'll say, if that's the case, why don't you say that by other cases of prohibited marriage as well? Why don't you say it over here also by other cases and say that any case where marriage is prohibited, even by a lav, even by just a prohibition, kiddushin should not work? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Chayve Lavin Behejik Subuhu, Kisiena Leish Shtein Nashim, Ha'achas Ahuba Va'achas Nus. So this is amazing. So says the Gemara, This is really amazing. I'm so happy Ari wrote that accidental journal entry yesterday, because this is mamish, like, you didn't want to miss this. So says the Gemara, so what happens? So what? Remember, by Chavi Lavin, the Gemara says that, remember, we have another pasuk. Another pasuk that teaches us that marriage actually works by Chavi Lavin. Where do we see that? Torah says, if a man will have two wives, ha'achas ahuva va'achas snua, one will be loved and one will be hated. So as the Gemara says, interesting question. So why are you taking up space with the Torah speaking about people's marital dynamics? And I was, what does this mean? Remember, what's the context here? The context of the laws of Yerusha. So remember, the Torah says a man has two wives, one he loves, one he doesn't like, and the son of the oldest son happens to be the son of the wife he doesn't like. So the Torah says, lo yivaker, he may not favor the younger son over the older son. So asks the Gemara, why are you giving me this whole story about he loves this one, he's out of love with this one, he used to love this one, there's no longer, the fire is not there, the flames. What are you talking about? Meaning, these are laws. The Torah is a law book. These are laws of inheritance. So just tell me, you have to give double portion to the oldest son and leave out the miniseries over here. Why are we getting into this? Now, both say, now you understand, of course, according to Rashi and other Mefarshim, so who look at the context, so they understand that. Remember, what do these psukim follow on the heels of? Yifas Toar, right? This is Parshas Kisetse. So remember, it's the war bride. So according to Rashi and others, what the Torah is saying is, you might take this war bride, you might take this woman you find in battle as a wife because you lust after her. But understand, it's not going to work out well. At the end of the day, when the lust is gone and you're actually married and you go ahead and you have this and you have this life together and you have kids together and you've introduced this incredibly difficult dynamic into your home, understand what you're going to end up with. But the Gemara is not looking at the juxtaposition to Yifas Torah. The Gemara is just looking at the laws of inheritance. So why do you have to tell me you love one, you don't love one? So the lashon of the Gemara is there such a thing as a hated wife or a beloved wife before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We'll say what that means is the Torah is a law book. So why do you have to insert this narrative? Oh, watch this. Ella, ahuva, ahuva benisueha, sinua, sinua benisueha. Rather, Rabbi Yossi says, the Gemara says, this is Rav Papa, says Rav Papa something amazing. When the Torah says ahuva, it's not talking about the husband's feeling towards his wife. And when it says snua, it's not talking about the husband's feeling. Ahuva and snua are statements about the halachic nature of the marriage. So ahuva means a marital bond that is beloved by the Torah because it is appropriate. And snua means a marital bond that is despised by the Torah because it is inappropriate. But yet what? The ka'amar rahmana. So what's an example of a nisua? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says snua b'nisueha, shenisueha snum lefnei hamakom. The marriage, the marital bond, is despised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kigon, chayvei lavin, like a man who married a mamzeres. Right, like a man who married a mamzeres, or a nisin, or a kohen who marries a grusha. So we'll say, so that's an example, says the Gemara, of snua. But yeah, what do you see? The kamrachmana kisiena. But remember, what is Torah speaking about over here? Torah, bless you. Torah speaking about, again, a man who is what? Married to these women. Says our papa, what does that show you? That there's marriage to a ahuva, and there's marriage to a snua. That even there are illegal marriages, namely chayvei lavin, that are usur, but at the end of the day, one could still affect marriage with these prohibited women. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, so therefore, again, so understand just the flow over here. So the Gemara wanted to suggest, now that we're establishing that all arayos, that all, we'll call all erva situations, are compared to achos isha, a wife sister. Just like achos isha, you can't marry her, and if you have children with her, they're mamzerim. So to all other arayos, you can't affect kiddushin either. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Why do we throw in chayvei lavin also and say that kiddushin is not tofsin with chayvei lavin? That if you try to marry a woman who is prohibited to you by a lav, the marriage will not work. To which the Gemara says, oh, that's because we have an explicit positive that tells us what? That it does work. Right? That it does work. That's the snua. That even if the woman you're married to is a snua. Now what does it mean? It doesn't mean you don't like her. It means that her marriage, the marital bond, is one that is halachically snua. Nevertheless, the marriage itself is still effective. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, Damar in Kiddush, Tov Zebichavi Lavin. So Rabbi Akiva, here's the issue. Remember we saw this. Rabbi Akiva holds that Kiddushin is not Topsin v'chavei lavin. So Rabbi Akiva holds that you can't marry a woman, meaning there is no marriage by a woman who is prohibited to you even just by a lav. And that's, remember again, Rabbi Akiva holds that such marital, such unions, those children will be mamzerim as well. So according to Rabbi Akiva, if let's say a kohen marries a grusha, not only is he in violation of the tenets of his kahuna, but that child ultimately again will be a mamzer as well. So according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds in kiddushin tov, mechayvei lavin, that kiddushin doesn't work with chayvei lavin kisiyana b'may mokim. So what does he use the pasuk of kisiyana leish? Mr. Bo say we're dashing that snua means let's say a woman who is prohibited to you by a lav. But Rabbi Akiva holds, there is no kiddushin by a woman who is prohibited to you by a lav. So what does he do with the pasuk? So the Gemara says, ba'almana l'kohen gadol, k'Rabbi Simai. Rabbi Akiva will say that there is one case ultimately again, of a chayvei lav, of a marriage prohibited by a lav, where even Rabbi Akiva will say that the marriage, although it's usser, technically will work. What's that case? That's the case of an almana, a widow, who marries the kohen gadol. Rabbi Simai, the same Rabbi Simai, Omer, minakol hayir Rabbi Akiva osim mamzer. Rabbi Akiva made mamzerim everywhere. In other words, Rabbi Akiva said, from every prohibited union produces mamzerim, with one exception, chutz me almana la kohen gadol. We'll say, now the irony of ironies is one would think that the more kadosh the person, the more receptive a flawed marital union would be to producing mamzerim. But yet we see, interesting enough, that's not the case. The one exception to Rabbi Akiva's rule is the almana who marries the kohen gadol. Shahari Torah amra lo yichalel, because the Torah says, ultimately, the kohen gadol may not marry an almana. Why? In order not to profane his offspring. So chilulim osim, you see from here that what? That when a kohen gadol marries an almana, the Torah says, lo yichalel, it creates chalalim, he profanes his offspring. What? Ve'ein oset mamzerus. But I will say, what it does not do is, it doesn't produce mamzerim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, a kohen gadol marrying an almana is just an exception to his generally established rule. Why is it an exception? Gzeres HaKosuf. Pasuk teaches us. So we'll say, therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, the phrase snua, which comes to tell you that there is a case of a halachically prohibited marriage that still is an effective marriage, according to Rabbi Akiva, ultimately would be what? The case of almana l'kohen gadol. Fine. So it says the Gemara, Ul Rabbi Yishave, so we'll say that's Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Simoi. Ul Rabbi Yishave, the Amar, Bo, Unesaveach al Akiva ben Yosef, Shaya Omer Kol She'en Lo Bia B'Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. So according to Rabbi Yishavev, who said, let's come and cry out against Rabbi Akiva, because he said any situation, Kol She'en Lo Bia B'Yisrael. Right, look at Rashi. Bo, it's the third white line in Rashi. Bo Netzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef, Sheposal Harbe B'Yisrael, Shaya Omer Kol Bia B'Yisrael, She'en Lo Heter Bo, Havlad Mamzer. So comes along Rabbi Yishavev and says, let's rally against, right? Let's do a hafkana against Rabbi Akiva, because he's making mamzerim everywhere, right? Because ultimately, again, every prohibited relationship results in mamzerus. So the Gemara says, Hanicha l'Rabbi Yishavev ilafuki mid Rabbi Simai ka'asi shapir. So if Rabbi Yishavev is coming along to say, Rabbi Simai, you're wrong. Meaning, Rabbi Simai, you said that there's an exception to Rabbi Akiva's rule, but in reality, there is no exception to Rabbi Akiva's rule. Rabbi Akiva holds that every single prohibited relationship creates mamzerus. Ele'i taima denafshe ka'amar. But if ultimately, again, he is saying his own logic, he's saying his own principle, then va'afilu chayvi asei, if that's the case, then it could be that according to Rabbi Akiva, maybe even if a man has a relationship with a woman who's what? Who's only prohibited, Rabbi Osei, through an asay, through a positive commandment, maybe Rabbi Akiva would also say such a union is not only prohibited, but also creates mamzerim. So the Gemara says, b'may mokim lo. So what would be the case here? Be'ula l'kohen gadol. Well, so you'd have to set it up as a case ultimately again. So what would be the exception rule? What would be an example of that rule? That would be a be'ula to a kohen gadol. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, be'ula l'kohen gadol, da'asehu. So we'll say the idea that a kohen is not permitted to marry a woman who is not a besula, who is a be'ula, is an asay, is a positive commandment. Because the pasuk says, dechsev isha bevesula ha'yikach. The pasuk says, and he shall take a besula. So there's a positive command for him to marry a besula. And therefore, v'lo be'ula. V'ilav haba michlal asay. Asay. Velekalak shuye hazonahi o amana o grusha de be'ula penuya lav zonahi kidisan be'yavamas. Ein zona elik, fine. So the Gemara says, so what would be an example? So now the Gemara is positing is that maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi, if Rabbi Yeshavev is espousing his own opinion, then maybe we could expand the scope of Rabbi Akiva's prohibition even more and say that what? Maybe Rabbi Akiva would say that even if a man violates a positive commandment and marries a woman that he's not allowed to, like for example, a Kohen Gadol marries a Be'ula, then ultimately, again, perhaps that should produce Mamzerim as well, to which the Gemara says, Umayshna, Mishum Dahavi Le'asei She'in Shava Bakol. So the difference is, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that this would not create Mamzerus. Why? Because ultimately, again, this is what we call an Asei She'in Shava Bakol. This is a positive commandment, ultimately, again, that is not Shava Bakol. It doesn't apply to everyone. So we'll say, anytime you have, this is true, by the way, with an Asei and a Los Asei, but specifically an Asei, whenever you have a positive commandment that does not apply to every person, like in this particular case, generally we're more makel with how we treat the fallout of the violation of that particular positive commandment. So therefore, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that if a Kohen Gadol were to marry a Be'ula, which is the violation of an Asei, that union would not create Mamzerim. Umayshna, I'm sorry, V'Rabbanan, Admuki Le'Bechayvi Lavin, Nukma Bechayvi Asei. So according to the Rabbanon, instead of setting up the pasuk as dealing with chayvei lavin, why don't we say that ultimately again it's dealing with an asei? So the Gemara says, "Haini chayvei asei b'mayninu." So what's the case of the asei, Rabosai? Ishtehen mitzvios, shtehen snuos. So also remember, so the Gemara is suggesting over here, let's go back for just a moment, let me clarify. So the Gemara is suggesting that earlier we saw that when the pasuk talks about kisiyen al ishtei noshim, achas ahuva v'achas snua, one is loved and one is despised. So remember again, so the way the Gemara is darshaning it is Ahuva refers to women who have a legal marriage. Snua refers to women ultimately who are prohibited in marriage by a prohibition. A lo sa'aseh. Why don't we say that snua also comes to include women who are prohibited by an aseh, by a positive commandment as well? To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. What exactly would be the case of chayvei aseh? Ishtehen mitzrios. Let's say, for example, a man is married to two women who are Egyptians, then shtehen snuos. Then ultimately, again, both women will be snuos. I achas mitzvos v'achas Yisraelis. If one of them is a mitzvah, one of them is a Yisraelis. Shtei noshim me'am echad ba'inan. The Rabbos said, because the Torah says shtei noshim, the idea that the Torah is saying is they must be on somewhat equal footing. The equal footing we understand over here is what? He's dealing at least with the same nation. So the Gemara says, but I Be'ula L'Kohen Gadol Miksiv Tiena L'Kohen. If you want to say it's referring to a case of a Be'ula who's married to a Kohen, therefore what? That can't be, because the Pasuk doesn't say anything about the man being a Kohen. Therefore, again, Abosai, so therefore, the Rabbanon have no choice but to interpret the Pasuk as saying what? That snua refers to women who are prohibited by a lav. And therefore, according to the Rabbanon, the novelty of the pasuk is that even though one is not permitted to marry a woman who is prohibited to him by a lav, by a prohibition, if he did so, the kiddushin works. But Rabbi Akiva, what will Rabbi Akiva say? According to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk is difficult, and ultimately, again, we'll have to interpret it with its simple meaning. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. It's the third to last line in Rashi. So remember, Rabbi Akiva has a more complicated construct. What Rabbi Akiva will say is the following. Number one, from Yevama, remember, what did we say before? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said that Yevama, Kiddushin is not Tofsin. If someone besides the Yavam, besides the surviving brother, tries to marry a Yevama, which was a woman who was waiting for Yibum, the Kiddushin does not work. Rabbi Akiva says, from there we learn that with all Chayvei Lavin, Kiddushin is not Tofsin. That's fine. So therefore, he said, V'chisiyena, so what does Rabbi Akiva do with the phrase, Snua? V'chisiyena, Alkach l'chayvei asei ka'amar, u'kigon dechad ha-mitzis, Rabbi Shabu Bu'ul ha-Kohen Gadol. But according, ultimately, again, to Rabbi Akiva, I will say, that phrase, Snua, ultimately comes to teach me that what? That even a relationship that is prohibited by an asei, kiddushin will not be tofsin as well. Rabbi say, what's the one example of that according to Rabbi Akiva? That's the case ultimately, again, of a be'ula to a Kohen Gadol. So to bring this all together, so leaving aside Rabbi Akiva right now, because Rabbi Akiva has a unique shita. Remember, Rabbi Akiva in general holds that Kiddushin is not Tovsin Bechai Ve'Lavin. Kiddushin does not take effect with any prohibitions. And if you marry a woman who is prohibited to you, either even by a lav, ultimately, again, that union will create Mamzerim. That's Shita Rabbi Akiva. That's the most extreme shita. There's one exception to Shita Rabbi Akiva, which is Be'ula to a Kohen Gadol. If a Kohen Gadol marries a woman who is not a Besula, marries a woman who is not a virgin, he marries a Be'ula, that is the one exception to Rabbi Akiva's rule. That marriage works, meaning halachically it works, even though it's prohibited, and the union, if they produce children, will not create Mamzerim. Where does Rabbi Akiva get that? According to Rabbi Akiva, that's just a straight Gzeiras HaKosov. That is just a straight Pasuk.
Is that different from a regular Kohen marrying a Zona?
Oh, so you'll see Rashi. Rashi says over here, because Zona is an explicit love. Zona is a love. So, Hu Isha Bifsuleha Yikach is an assay. So it's a lav habam michlal assay. It's a prohibition that is learned out from a positive commandment. A prohibition learned out from a positive commandment is an assay, as opposed to zona, where the Torah phrases it again in the negative, so it's a los assay. So that's why, because it's an assay, Rabbi Akiva says that's the one exception to the rule. Would be a halal, but would not be a mamzer. Much better to be a halal than a mamzer.
What about the nida?
So the nida also, the nida everybody agrees is the exception as well. Correct. Nida is the other exception. And that's also Gzeiras HaKosov. Correct. So I will say, but for our purposes, halacha lemaisa, remember, we've never accepted the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We saw that already earlier on. What we end off with is the following. We end off with the yisod that kiddushin is not tofsin by arayos. So if you try to marry a woman who is prohibited to you, but essentially like this: if you're married to a woman with whom relations are punishable by either death, nisas beizdin, or kares, right? The kiddushin does not work. The marriage is not effective, and ultimately, again, the children from that union ultimately will be mamzerim. Now, again, where we learn that out from, Shabbos, we see now that we have three different limudim. So again, we either learn out from the pasuk in Gittin, kisiyana liish acher, v'halchav v'aysa liish acher. We learn out, other possibility is comparison to achos isha, or potentially, again, we learn out from comparison to yibum as well. Either way, however we're learning it out, bottom line is, that is halacha l'maisa. Other notable takeaways from here is, as David just mentioned, as much as a nida, relations with a nida is an iser kares, nevertheless, less again, if a man does have relations with a nida, ultimately kiddushin is tofsin, meaning if he's makadish a nida bebia, the kiddushin will work, and children fathered with a nida do not create mamzerim. All right, good. So again, there are a lot of interesting takeaways from here, but for us, for the purposes of the Mishnah, in kiddushin tofsin with any arayas punishable by misas, beisdin, or kares, the source for that, a hotly contested topic, but everyone agrees. Says the Gemara, Gvaiter. So we'll say, remember again, now we're up to the last case in the Mishnah. The last case in the Mishnah was any woman who cannot marry anyone. This is Kol Shemisha Ein La, Lo Alav, V'lo Alachirim Kiddushin. Any woman who cannot marry anyone, so we'll say, Havlat Kimosa. The status of the child mirrors the mother. So we'll say, so this is talking about, and the Mishnah says, what's the example of this? The example of this would be if a man tries to marry his shifcha, his slave woman, or a Gentile woman. So we'll say, these are women who one cannot marry, one cannot halachically marry, because they're not Jewish, and therefore the child is like her. Says the Gemara, shifcha kinanis minolon, how do we know that a man is not, how do we know, they will say that there is no kiddushin by a shifcha kinanis. Remember, I have a shifcha kinanis, want to marry her. How do I know that I can't marry? There's no kiddushin. Amrafuna amrakra, shvulachem poi machamar. Because they will say, the pasuk says, remember, this is by the Akedah. So Avraham Avinu says to Yishmael, remember, who's going to the Akedah? It's Avraham Yitzchak, Yishmael Eliezer. So Avraham Avinu says to Yishmael, he says, I'm going with Yitzchak, Shvulachem Poim Achamar, stay here with the donkey. Now the obvious kasha is, why does Avraham could just say what? Shvulachem Poim, stay here. What do you mean with the donkey? So the Gemara understands the Dashan that the donkey is actually a reference to Eliezer, and therefore it's saying Im Hadom Lachmar, Eliezer was the Eved of Avram, was the Eved ultimately of Avram Avinu, and therefore again Im Hadom Lachmar. Now, once I understand when the Gemara says something like this, the Gemara is not trying to make a disparaging statement about non-Jews. What the Gemara is talking about over here is a status level. It's a status level that just like ultimately, again, just like Eliezer, just like a chamor is a possession. So Eliezer was a possession of Avram Avinu as well. Obviously a very trusted possession. You see how much Avram Avinu, how he felt about Eliezer. V'haraya, what happened? He sends Eliezer to go find a wife for Yitzchak. So obviously it's not the pshat that he doesn't hold of Eliezer. It's a shaila of halachic status. So therefore the Gemara says, because ultimately again the Gentile is compared to the Chamor, therefore lemaise again Kiddushin is not Tofsin. Because the what the Gemara is saying is the Gentile doesn't have the status to be able to affect Kiddushin. So Ashkechan de lo tafsiba Kiddushin. So now I know ultimately again that Kiddushin is not Tofsin. Vlada kemosa minala. So now that's step number one. So now we've established that if you try to marry a Shifcha or you try to marry a Gentile woman, there is no halachic marriage. But now part two, let's say you don't marry, you have a child. You have a child. There's a child, right? So the Jewish man has a child with a non-Jewish woman. How do I know that that child is hers, so to speak? The status of the child is ultimately hers. The amakra, because the pasuk says ha'ishavi ladet yeladonel. Because we'll say, at least in the case of the shifcha kinanis, the pasuk says that what? The woman and her children belong to the master. Which tells you what? Which tells you that lemaisa, the children have the status of the mother. So says the Gemara. And we'll say here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Heishev Yiladel, bless you. Hashivcha b'shivcha kinanis, sheyachta le'evet ivri va'amakra, t'lo yatsa ben chavshim avim. So we'll say, remember again, it's even more. This pasuk is talking about over here, where a man has an evet ivri, a Jewish servant, and one of the things that a master could do with his evet ivri, is he could tell the evet ivri, I'd like you to impregnate the shivcha kinanis. I'd like you to go ahead and have children with her. And what happens if he does? Those children belong to the master. So even though the evet ivri will go free, the children remain with the master, which tells you what? Which tells you that lemaisa, the children have the status of the mother. So the Gemara says, not so we'll say, so now we've established that a shifcha kinanis, she herself has the status of the chamor, and therefore again, Kiddushin is not tofsin with her. And now we've also established that the children reflect her shifcha status as well. Nochris minolan. We'll say, how do I know that by a Gentile woman, not a shifcha right now, stam Gentile woman, that if a Jewish man tries to marry her, Kiddushin are not tofsin with a Gentile woman? So the pasuk very simply, Amikra, lo tischatin bam. The pasuk says, you shall not marry within them. Now, this pasuk, of course, we'll see later on, is speaking about specifically the Zion Umos, the seven nations indigenous to Canaan. But the Gemara's understanding right now is Maishna, seven indigenous nations, or Gentiles in general. The pasuk tells us, Lo tischatin bam, you are not permitted to marry into the nations of the world. So Kiddushin is not Tofsin. So Ashkechan de la Tafsiba Kiddushin. So now I know that if you try to marry a Gentile woman, so the Kiddushin does not work. Vlada kamosa minalam. How do I know that the child has the status of the mother? So I don't know that if I father a child with a Gentile woman, then ultimately that child has her status and not mine. Listen to this. Because the pasuk says, he will take your son from me. Now the pasuk over here is talking about if you marry off your daughter to a Gentile man. So the Torah says that what? That her Gentile husband, your Gentile son-in-law, will go ahead and take away your son. In other words, on a spiritual, but on a religious level, he will steer your son away from Judaism, and ultimately the son will be going ahead and worshipping idolatry. So what do you see from here? So the Gemara says, Bincha, Habam Yisrael is Kari Bincha. What do you see from here, Rabosai? Why does the Torah call the son Bincha? Remember, who is the Torah talking to over here? Torah is talking to the Zayda, right? The Torah is saying over here, I married off my daughter to a Gentile man, says the Torah, my daughter married a Gentile man, says the Torah, just understand over here, that son-in-law of yours, he's going to take your child away from Judaism, and he's going to point your child in a very different theological direction. But what the Gemara picks up on is, what is interesting over here? When talking to the Zayda, when talking to the grandfather, what does the Torah call this little angle? Why does the Torah call him? Your son, which means that there is a relationship between that grandfather and that grandchild. Why? Bincha haba miyisraelis, haba miyisraelis kari bincha. So the Gemara says, oh, bincha haba miyisraelis. So the idea is, A son that comes from a Jewish woman, that's called bincha. That's called bincha. That child is a bona fide Jew. Vein bincha haba min ha'avedes kochavim. I'm sorry. Kari bincha. Vein bincha haba min ha'avedes kochavim kari bincha. But ultimately what? Ultimately, a child that comes from an idolatrous woman, in other words, a non-Jewish woman, that is not called your son. So we'll say, what do you see from here for this very important pasuk? You see from here that a Jewish woman who has a child with a non-Jewish man, that child is still considered to be Jewish, which means Jewish identity is determined by the mother. Now, I will say, you know that this in and of itself is a machlokis in the Gemara. One thing we know for sure, which is, until Matan Torah, so Klal Yisrael, or it's whenever the Klal Yisrael, we'll call it the nation of Avraham Avinu, was determined by patrilineal descent. We know that. We know that with certainty, because remember, who did the Shvatim marry? So that's machlokis also. But according to many commentaries, they married indigenous girls, right? They married girls, Canaanite girls. So we'll say, so there was patrilineal descent up until Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, at Sinaitic Revelation, it changes to matrilineal descent, which is interesting because, you know, there are other streams within Judaism that still go according to patrilineal descent, which is interesting because, again, once upon a time, that was the norm. That's how our nation really existed up until Matan Torah. In any event, what the Pasuk is clearly teaching me over here is that it's only what? Kiyasir es bincha. It's only bincha when it comes from a Jewish woman. If it does, child doesn't come from a Jewish woman, it's not bincha. So from here you see that. So now we've established that number one. Lo tischate invam teaches me that kiddushin is not tofsin. Kiddushin is not tofsin. Ultimately, again, by kiddushin is not tofsin. By a non-Jewish woman, and furthermore, again, in the event that they have a child together, so lemaisa, again, the child is not going to be Jewish. So says the Gemara, Amar Avina, Shmamina, Ben Bitcha, Haba Mina Ovid Kochavim, Karoi Bincha. So Avina said, from here you see that the son of your daughter, right? Meaning, again, if a Jewish daughter, the son of your daughter has a son, and she has that child with a non-Jewish man, that child is called your son. In other words, that child ultimately is Jewish. A child that comes from a Jewish mother, even with a non-Jewish father, is called your son. I name a kasava ravino, ove kochavim ve'eved haba basisro havlad mamzer. But maybe ravina means yes, the child is Jewish. Maybe the child is a mamzer. Right, maybe if a Jewish woman has a child with a non-Jewish man, although the child is technically Jewish, the child is Jewish, but maybe you say the child is a mamzer. So whoa, whoa, whoa. Nehid the kasher lo havi, mamzer lo havi. So even if the child is not quote-unquote a kasher, I will say kasher means the child is not a child with an unblemished lineage. Meaning, again, I will say, as we will see, there are repercussions to having a non-Jewish father. So even though the child is not a quote-unquote kasher, the child is not genealogically unblemished, but that doesn't make you a mamzer. The Gemara says, so what is the child? Pasul mikri. Ultimately, again, Abba said, this child is called a pasul. Now, what are the ramifications of being called a pasul? So we'll say, if you look in the wide lines of Rashi, six lines in, pasul mikri, kishar noladim ba'avera, like other children who are born in sin, may there's a whole group of people, a whole group of children who are born from illegal unions. They're illegal unions, but lemaisa, again, they're not mamzerim. So I will say, the ramifications of being pasul are quite interesting. For example, again, there's an interesting discussion in Shulchan Aruch about whether or not a girl who is born to a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother is permitted to marry a kohen. It's a big discussion halacha about this. Again, machlokes aposkim that Amar paskins that she should not marry a kohen. She's a psul. Although interestingly enough, there's a lot of halachic literature about what say she did marry a kohen. So is there an obligation under those circumstances to break up the union? So a lot of interesting discussions about it. But the point over here is, although if you have a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father, you are 1,000% bona fide Jewish. But the Gemara says there is a certain tainting of lineage, of genealogy in this particular case, but not mamzerus. Next, so says the Gemara, one second, you're telling me now that I can't, that a Jewish man can't have kiddush with a non-Jewish woman because of the pasuk of lotis chatein bam, you can't marry them. But one second, says the Gemara, hahu b'shiva goyim ksiv shar umos minolon. That pasuk only teaches me that I can't marry into the one of the seven indigenous nations. But it doesn't teach me about the other nations. So says the Gemara, what about all the other Gentile nations? So the Gemara says, Amikra, kiyaser es bincha. Because the pasuk says, be careful allowing your daughter to go ahead and marry a Gentile man, because he will take your son away. He will steer your son away. Lerabos, Kol ha-nasirim. This comes to include anyone who would steer your child. In other words, we'll say this comes to include all the nations. That marrying your daughter off, in other words, having a Jewish woman marry any Gentile man is problematic. So from here you see that the prohibition ultimately again devolves upon all members of the Gentile nations. So says the Gemara, 1 second. Hanicha the Rabbi Shimon, the Darish Taima Dikra. So this makes sense, according to Rabbi Shimon, who darshins the reasoning for Pesukim. El Rabbanon, my timer, Amakra. So we'll say, but according to the Rabbanon, I should say, El Rabbanon, my time. So we'll say, so now let's take a step back with this, and probably with this we'll have to end for today. But you know, there's a fundamental achlokes of darshin and Taima Dikra or not. Do we look for the reasons in Pesukim or not? So if you look at Rashi for just a moment, very quickly, Rashi says, Darish Taima Dikra, Bebab Metzia, Gabi Amana Dikra, Amar Ashira, Memashkinan Osa, Ani Elo Memashkinan Osa. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara Mesech Bebab Metzia says, the Pasuk says, Lo Sachpo Beged Almana. You are not permitted to take the garment of an almana as collateral. So we'll say, so there's machlokis in the Gemara, ultimately again, as to why that is. So Rabbi Shimon, for example, says that it only applies to a poor almana. Why? Because lemaisa, again, if she only has one item, you can't make a difficult life even more difficult by now taking her items as collateral. But if it's a rich almana, then ultimately, again, it's not a problem. So we'll say, so Rabbi Shimon darshan's time of dikra, the Rabbanon do not darshan time of dikra. So if you skip down in that Rashi a little bit, Rashi says, V'hachi nami, it's in the middle of that Rashi, Darish Taima Dikra. V'hachi nami, Darish Taima Dikhitun, Mishum Kiyasa. So we'll say, Rabbi Shimon says, why can't a Jewish girl marry a non-Jewish man, or vice versa? Meaning, why can't you marry, ultimately, a non-Jewish person? Because a non-Jewish person will take your child away, ultimately, from Judaism. V'lo itztirch kra lefarushe taima. V'yasir kiyasya l'rabo shar umos. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Shimon, Darshan's Taima Dikra, so I understand, ultimately, when it says, lo tischatin bam, why can't I marry a Gentile? Because ultimately the Gentile, either husband or wife, will go ahead and take my child away from Judaism. It's obvious the reason I can't do it. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you have the extra phrase of Kiyosir to teach me what? That the prohibition doesn't just apply to the seven nations, even though the Pasuk of Lo Tischatin Bam is stated by the seven nations, but who does it apply to? It applies to everyone. But according to the Rabbanon, however, who don't darshan Taima Dikra, so we'll say they don't darshan the reasoning, therefore again, they have Lo Tischatin Bam. Lo Tischatin Bam teaches me that what? I can't marry into the seven nations. But where do I know that I can't marry any Gentile person? So back to the Gemara, Amar Kra, the Achar Kain Tavo Aleo Ba'alto. Because the Pasuk says, Vayifas Toar, that afterwards, they both say, what does afterwards mean? After what? After ultimately she converts, then you could go ahead and take her as a wife. Michlal, the Me'ikar Lo Tafsi Ba Kiddushin. Ultimately, again, both say, what does that teach me? That teaches me that Lamais, again, Kiddushin is not Tofsin with a woman who is not Jewish. So from the fact that ultimately, again, both say, you know, Vayifas Toar, there's a machlokes as to when the Bia Rishona could take place. But assuming over here that even if Bia Rishona is permitted during wartime, the second Bia, says the Gemara, is not permitted until after what? Until after she converts, after she comes to him. So what do you see from here? You see from here that Kiddushin is not tofsin with a Gentile woman. So Ashkechan, delotav siba Kiddushin, vlada kimosa minalon. So now I know that Kiddushin doesn't take effect with her, but how do I know that? All right, well, see, now actually, we'll stop over here. So we're going to pick up over here with this statement. So now, understand what we've proven. So we'll say, so now, just understand, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're done. Right? According to Rabbi Shimon, we've got now, Lotis Chatein Bam teaches me that what? Lotis Chatein Bam teaches me that I can't marry any Gentile person. Why? Because marrying a Gentile will derail my religiosity. Fine. And Ki Yasir teaches me that this prohibition applies not just to the seven nations, but applies to all non-Jews. Furthermore, that teaches me that there's no Kiddushin. I also now know that what? That if I have a child with a Gentile woman, the child is like her. How do I know that? From the Lashon of Bincha. Only a child that comes from a Jewish woman is called Bincha, but a child that comes from a non-Jewish woman is not called Bincha. But according to the Rabbanon, who don't darshan Taima Dikra, if that's the case, Lo Tischatin Bam teaches me I can't marry one of the women from the seven nations, right? Ki Yasir teaches me I'm sorry, so where do I learn? Where do I learn the rest? Where do I learn the rest of the nations? So according to the Rabbanon, that'll come from the Pasuk Vayifas Toar. That the Pasuk says, Ba'achar King Tavo Alau Ba'alto. Ultimately, again, it's only after she converts that you can go ahead and have proper Kiddushah. So now according to the Rabbanon, we've proven now that you can't have Kiddushah with women from the seven nations. We've proven that you can't have Kiddushah with general Gentile women. Now what we still have to prove according to the Rabbanon is what? That if you have a child with a Gentile woman, that that child has her status and not yours. Meretz Hashem will prove that tomorrow. Shvoya.